Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we'll hear from the four candidates squaring off in the February 21st State Supreme Court primary and go in depth with the one who's actually served on the court before. That's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. The 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court election shaping up to be one of the most expensive in state history and could end up being one of the most consequential as well. The winner of the seat in April will succeed outgoing Justice Pat Rogensack, who's retiring after serving two full 10-year terms on the court. The winner will also determine the ideological makeup of what's deemed a 4-3 conservative court at the moment. Now, in the last few years, Rogensack's been one of three conservative justices who nearly always votes in a block with Chief Justice Annette Ziegler and Justice Rebecca Bradley. A fourth conservative, Justice Brian Hagedorn, occasionally sides with three liberal justices on the court, so he's deemed kind of a swing vote. Those liberal justices include Ann Walsh Bradley, Justice Rebecca Dallet, and Justice Jill Karofsky. And no, the Bradleys are not related. Now, the court has issued a number of 4-3 decisions in recent years over highly charged political cases. Now, if a conservative wins this spring, the court will keep its 4-3 tilt conservatively, with Hagedorn being the deciding vote. If a liberal wins, it'd be the first time since way back in 2008 that liberals would actually hold a majority on Wisconsin's state Supreme Court. Now, the balance of power has political implications far beyond the bench, as the court could issue rulings on anything from abortion to redistricting and other major issues. So there are four candidates. Let's meet them. On the conservative side of the ledger, there's former state Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly, who we'll go in depth with in today's program. The newcomer to the race, the fourth candidate in the field, Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro, who gained a lot of attention for that Waukesha Christmas parade trial that she oversaw. Meanwhile, also the two liberal candidates, judicial candidates, include Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz and Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell. Earlier this week, I recorded an exclusive interview with former state Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly. I began by asking him to size up the race and its potential impact on the court.
You know, the court right now is in a pretty precarious position because it is balanced, well, let's call it 4-3 or so in favor of those who understand their job is simply to apply the law rather than make it up as they go along. Because of that close balance, the left has its eye fixed firmly on this election. And they're not being shy at all about what they want to do if they were to win. So I don't know if you saw, but over the summer, there was an article in the New York Times in which they said their objective, if they were to capture that seat, would be to completely transform the state of Wisconsin. And those are their words. That's not my characterization.
Kelly says we saw this on full display at the WisPolitik State Supreme Court election forum this past Monday.
And both Janet and Everett came right out and said, you know, we're going to, here are our political values. And it was all but an explicit statement that they are going to use their personal political values to decide cases, which is just destructive of the rule of law. It is a breach of faith with the Constitution and a breach of faith with the people of Wisconsin.
Again, Janet and Everett are Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz and Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell. Here's a portion of what each of them had to say on a potential electoral maps case coming before the state Supreme Court, starting with Judge Protasiewicz.
I don't think you could sell to any reasonable person that the maps are fair. Least change approach, I mean, I think the idea of it might sound good to some people. I see no basis for it in the Constitution, no basis in case law.
And Judge Everett Mitchell.
Our maps that we have now have rid the so many people of a particular voice that is necessary, and the standard of least change approach, anytime as a African American in judicial spaces hear the word least change approach, it just brings up all kind of past trauma.
In contrast with those two liberal judges, you'll notice here fellow conservative Judge Jennifer Doro of Waukesha County withholds her opinion on such a case coming before the court.
Now, there is talk about further challenges, so I will not put myself in a position to prejudge anything. But as with any case, I will listen to the challenge and I will apply the law to the facts at hand.
And former state Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly weighed in this way on the matter at Monday's forum.
How districts get apportioned according to political considerations must have no purchase in the courts, unless we are dead set on tearing down the distinctions between the branches of government that our Constitution creates.
Kelly says,
I think it is just exceptionally important that the next justice on the Supreme Court is a proven constitutional conservative. And that's what I am. I've of course already served for several years on the Court of Appeal, on the Supreme Court. And if you look at people's records as opposed to what they say about themselves, then I am the only constitutional conservative in this race.
Kelly says he finds it interesting that
all three of my opponents say that they will uphold the Constitution, preserve the rule of law, and keep politics out of the courtroom. And that is the living heartbeat of constitutional conservatism. But the question is, will they do that? And I think that it's important that we ask people to show proof that that's what they will do. Now, I can do that. I have a record of over 20 years of constitutional conservatism. So, for example, in addition to my private practice before I came to the court, I was in leadership of the Federal Society for 15 years. And that's an educational organization whose sole purpose is to advance the original public meaning of the Constitution, and in particular, describing the proper role and function of the court within a constitutional construct.
Kelly says the record of a true constitutional conservative also looks like this.
I've done over 100 lectures around the state of Wisconsin about the proper role and function of the court. It also looks like the writings you do off the court. I was asked to write a manual on legislative oversight for the Wisconsin legislature, in which I detail the responsibilities of each of the branches of government and why it's so important that they exercise their own authority and not steal the authority that belongs to others. And that was received so well that I was asked to write one for Michigan and for Illinois as well. And then there's going to be a couple more coming behind that. And then on top of that has been my service as a Supreme Court justice. I've written landmark opinions on constitutional issues, and the body of my work has been cited, quoted, or relied upon by hundreds of times by courts here in Wisconsin and across the country.
And Kelly points to two key endorsers to further make his case that he's the only true constitutional conservative among the four candidates in the February 21st state Supreme Court primary field.
Justice Rebecca Bradley and Judge Shelley Grogan, two of the preeminent constitutional conservatives in our judiciary, both endorse and support me. And I think the reason they support me is important. So they have studied each of the four candidates in this race, and their conclusion is that I am the only constitutional conservative in the race.
Kelly says if one of the two liberal judges, Protasiewicz or Mitchell, is elected to the court in April, a redistricting case could come right back before the court.
Now, it was clear that when the map went through the Supreme Court just this past year, that there was a minority on the court who wanted to address the political aspects of it. Now, if Janet or Everett wins in April and that comes back, then there will be a solid majority that would go beyond answering legal questions, and they would simply rewrite the map to suit their personal political preferences. So this is, that's one of the reasons why this is such an important election, because it is going to answer the question of whether our court is going to remain as a law-declaring body or whether it's going to involve itself deeply in politics. And we already have a branch that's supposed to do that. We call it the legislature, right? I mean, that's kind of how our Constitution is constructed. And the people's command to the court is this. They tell us, we want you to do one thing and one thing only. Resolve our cases according to the law, not according to your personal preferences, not according to your politics, according to the law. And both Janet and Everett demonstrated at the debate on Monday that that's not what they're about.
Former State Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly says you shouldn't listen to what a judicial candidate says, but look at what they've done. And he points to his voting with the court's conservative 4-3 majority in striking down Governor Evers' safer at home orders when he was on the high court as proof of his constitutional conservative bona fides.
The question there was whether an unelected bureaucrat have the authority to make law for everyone in Wisconsin. So Secretary Palm sat down at her computer one day and she tap, tap, tapped out a new law. And when it came off the printer, she held it up and said to all the people in Wisconsin, behold my law that I have just imposed on all of you. And because of my law, you all have to stay at home. You can't go to work. You can't send your children to school. You can't go to church. And it shut down the states. Now, whether or not that was a good response to the pandemic is beside the point. The point is, did you have the authority, Secretary Palm, to make law for the state of Wisconsin? So when that case came to the Supreme Court, it was decided on a 4-3 decision.
Kelly says,
and Justice Rebecca Bradley and I, we wrote about how that order stole the authority that the people of Wisconsin invested in their legislature. And Secretary Palm used the legislature's authority, and she made a law, and that was not for her to do. And so we said that's unconstitutional. Now, part of that 3 in dissent was Brian Hagedorn. And he said it was just fine for an unelected bureaucrat to make the law. Now, after I left the court, that question came back in the form of a challenge to the Dane County public health officer, who essentially just adopted Secretary Palm's order and imposed that on the county. And that time, the case went the other way, 4-3. And in a separate opinion, Brian Hagedorn said that the separation of powers is really more of a political question than a legally enforceable command that the people of Wisconsin have provided through their constitution. And so this is what I mean about it being so important that we have proof that a person is a constitutional conservative before they go to court.
How does former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly respond to criticism that in his defeat to Judge Jill Karofsky in the April 2020 race, not only lost by 10.5%, but also became only the second state Supreme Court incumbent in state history to lose re-election?
From 2020, we can gain 2 lessons. The first is that Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders combined can turn out more votes than the lone may. Now, that shouldn't come as any surprise. There is no conceivable constitutional conservative anywhere in the state who could have turned out more votes than Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders combined. That's simply not going to happen. The second lesson from 2020 is that I received over 693,000 votes. Now, the reason that's important is because if you set aside the elections in which the years in which there is a presidential primary on the same day as the Supreme Court election, there's only one justice in the history of the state who got more votes than I did. So what we learned from 2020 is that a constitutional conservative can't compete against 2 Democratic presidential candidates. But the other lesson is that I have already proven that I can get more than enough votes to win in April, and it's not even close.
Okay.
And my opponent has no record of anything that would suggest that she would be able to do that. She's never run a campaign outside of Waukesha County, and she's never even actually had an opponent. Mm-hmm. And so if we're concerned about electability, the smart money is on me, because I've proven that I can get the number of votes necessary to win in April, and my opponent hasn't.
By his opponent, obviously, Kelly's referring to a fellow conservative, Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro, the most recent to enter the race. What's his reaction to Doro being endorsed this week by retiring Justice Pat Rogensack?
And actually, I think that's an instructive endorsement. So I served with Pat. I loved serving with her. She's a wonderful person. But Pat Rogensack has never supported constitutional conservatives. The epitome of constitutional conservatives in our judiciary is Justice Rebecca Bradley. And Pat didn't support her when Rebecca ran in 2016. Pat didn't support me in 2020, even though my opponent was an uber activist. The brightest rising star in the constitutional conservative movement is Judge Shelley Grogan on the Court of Appeals in District 2. And Pat didn't support her either. And in fact, she actively campaigned against her by endorsing her opponent, who was an Evers appointee to the Court of Appeals. So Jennifer's been endorsed by a justice who does not want constitutional conservatives on the court.
What's Justice Kelly's overall take on Doro's performance as a Waukesha County judge and as his chief opposition among conservative primary voters?
Now, I don't want to detract from anything that she has done as a circuit court judge. Most reports that I've received were that she did a fine job in the Brooks trial. I'm not going to take anything away from that, but conducting a high profile trial is not an indication that you are prepared to be on the Supreme Court. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that I think would be very instructive is if people watch the debate from, this past Monday. I encourage people to watch the whole thing. It's an hour long. So, you know, it is a little long. So if they wish, I mean, you can kind of fast forward to about halfway through, and that's when things really start to get interesting. But I think what you will see on that debate, and as many people have told me afterwards, including Justice Rebecca Bradley of our Supreme Court, is that there was only one person on that stage who was capable of taking on Janet or Everett. And there was only one person on that stage who is capable of serving on the Supreme Court in a way that upholds the original public meaning of our Constitution. And I think that's a really important point to take into account.
Does Justice Kelly anticipate being endorsed by the man who originally appointed him to the state Supreme Court, former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker?
I don't know what Scott Walker is going to do. I would, of course, welcome his endorsement. He wrote an article I think it was probably a month or so ago, in which he talked about the importance of electing someone who has a proven record. And so I don't know if he's planning on endorsing in this race, but I certainly would welcome it because, you know, he is the one who appointed me to the Supreme Court back in 2016. And he did it after studying my record closely and being convinced that I would be the best constitutional conservative to be on the court.
And finally, despite no longer being the only conservative in the February 21st primary field, Kelly still feels his chances are very good to be one of the top two vote getters in that primary.
Obviously, having someone else who is campaigning as a judicial conservative has the prospect of peeling away some votes. But I think the people of Wisconsin, as I've traveled around Wisconsin over the last year and a half, one of the things I've heard them say with regularity is they don't want to gamble on who the next Supreme Court justice is going to be. And especially after the experience with Brian Hagedorn, they said, look, the next person that comes to us has to be able to prove that they're constitutional conservatives. You got to have a record. And so I think people in Wisconsin are looking carefully at the candidates to see what their record is. They don't want to have to elect the candidate to find out if they really are a constitutional conservative. And so I think I'm very confident that along with Justice Rebecca Bradley and Judge Shelley Grogan, when they look at the candidates, they will see that I am the only candidate in the race who has a proven record of being a constitutional conservative. And so they don't have to gamble with me. They can look at me and say, we know exactly what we're going to get with Dan Kelly. we're going to get somebody who is committed to the Constitution, who understands the original public meaning of it and knows how to apply it to resolve our contested cases. And so so I'm confident that we are going to come through the primary just fine, and which is, I think, a good thing for the state of Wisconsin, because I think, you know, either Janet or Everett will also be coming through the primary. And so we have to be prepared on the very first day of the general election to effectively contend against them. And then upon being elected, that person has to go to the Supreme Court and be prepared on day one to push back against the activist minority that will be on the court, and be prepared to do that for 10 years. And I do encourage people to look at the take a look at the debate from Monday, because as I mentioned, as Justice Rebecca Bradley said, there's only one person on that stage who demonstrated an ability to contend against the judicial activists.
Again, former State Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly, endorsed in the state Supreme Court race by current Justice Rebecca Bradley and numerous sheriffs around the state. His fellow conservative opponent, Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doros. Endorsements include Eric Toney, the Fond du Lac County District Attorney, who was the Republican nominee for State Attorney General in 2022. On the liberal side of the ledger, the Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz is endorsed by current Justice Rebecca Dallet, other judges from around the state, and various Democratic state legislators. And finally, Everett Mitchell, the Dane County judge, his endorsements include former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle, former State Supreme Court Justice Louis Butler, other judges from around the state, and various Democratic lawmakers. Again, the primary, February 21st. Watch that forum from this past Monday. Access it at wisi.org. That's WISEYE.org. I'm Mark Halverson.